Directa General. Thank you very much for coming. We think we should now start earlier on before you arrive. There was a discussion about 15 minutes, and indeed, like our members were prophetic, that will be starting almost very close to 15 minutes. I think Nomdu is also ready now in terms of whatever documentation she was still teaching. Thank you very much, Nomdu. But in the new year, what we are doing now, 15 minutes after the time, do them 30 minutes before the time. Next year, please, don't make this a habit. 30 minutes before the meeting, do the preparation, not after. Thank you very much. I'm advised that this is likely to be the last portfolio committee meeting for the year 2018. But in this world, we must avoid using absolute steps because they may just be a lead. But so far, in terms of what we have, we think we are likely to convene unless there's some immediate need. So it is then opportune for me to really take time to appreciate the commitment of the honorable members, the commitment of the staff. We are one of the committees that really didn't suffer what I've heard is taking place in other committees. So the people that we must also appreciate them, there are people from PMG, are they here as well? They are always in the corners. They are always here as well. And they are quiet, all of them are quiet. They are gentlemen, they are ladies, also. And they are doing a lot of important job behind the scenes. So we appreciate them as well. DJ, you will realize I'm starting at this home because the honorable members in the other committees are suffering of the quorum. So we have not. I really didn't feel it. So there were very few, one or two meetings where there may have been very few of us. But it was easily understood from where I was sitting. So we're able to get the information, which then the formal meeting of today will then do what it should do. So from where I sit, the people of South Africa were well represented by the portfolio committee members. The views expressed, the hard questions asked, they were not party politicking. That's what I saw. We were dealing with the issues that are affecting the people of South Africa. Even in the oversight business that we have done, we're always putting the people of the country, in particular the poor, noting, because it's easy when you are in government, whether DG, DDGs, chief directors, you are an official, it's easy to forget once you are in the office that there was once an apartheid animal which put other people away from where things happened. And then the 1994 and 1996 constitution then put a new administration to reverse the imbalances of the past. Many a time, this is what we are forgetting. okay, we may not be forgetting, but we are doing less to change the situation. Areas that we found poverty riddled, areas that were forgotten during apartheid years, we are doing something, but this something we're doing is too modest. Or in other areas, not even visible for the human eyes. It's good for the records. You know, sometimes when you read, it's like everything is going well. So I think we must move. For departments such as public works, there are areas that can, there are projects and programs that can be done to change the situation, to lay the foundation, even for private sector to come in and invest. So I think if DG and DDG, you can look in such programs, because infrastructure development is what can change poor provinces to be better provinces. When you put infrastructure, then you change the situation. But for now, everybody wants to go to Durban. Everybody wants to go to Durban. Everybody wants to go to Cape Town. Because we are not putting infrastructure in the areas that were neglected by apartheid. It's like we have an agenda with apartheid masters. We not want to change the situation. We talk of small harbors. The coast goes everywhere because God does not discriminate. Even in the poor areas, the coast goes. But the apartheid, it didn't go to other areas. Why? Even ourselves, we still don't want to put small harbors there because we say it is costly. But invest for the future should be indeed be costly. It's a cost that you can justify in terms of the future. Even if you must, you know, fight some cliffs that are in some of these coastal areas, you can't say no, it's a no-go area, this one. Make it possible. The developed countries have made that happen. Countries such as towns and cities like Togo, Hong Kong, the way they deal with extending the sea, pushing it away, you know, you can see that they know how to invest for the future. I think Public Works Director General, DDG, must really, I'm just using the small harbors, develop in areas that were forgotten. So if you don't want to do that, then that means you are moving with the apartheid plans, like that. So for today, we only have three areas to look into the minutes, and then look into the report of the oversight that was done in Kaunda earlier. Some of us were not in the portfolio committee then, but it was done on our behalf. So we'll look into that report so that there's no report that we don't take account for. And then the last would be the briefing by the Department of Public Works on its responses to the high-level panel recommendations. And then once that is done, at the portfolio committee, because all portfolio committees are expected to have a report on this, our own report, which means we'll have to then have our own report. So this presentation will assist us to also come up with our own report in terms of our take on the high level panel. So I think, honorable members, those are the few remarks I can put. Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Can I just make a proposal with regards to the agenda? Could we do the briefing by the department and the deliberations and when then they can leave and then we do the minutes and we report on the house thing. Could we swap that around?
My worry is the fact that we tend to disappear before the meeting. I'm not sure if members are not going to go anywhere. Honorable Sedan.
Yes. Thanks, Chair. I will stay throughout the meeting. Give me to finish after one. I'll declare my support to my colleague here. Given the fact that we started a little bit late,
yeah,
that's my fear. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sedan.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll be leaving at 12:15 for another meeting.
Okay. Honorable members, if we leave the minutes, I don't think there are two themes in this minute. Let's do them. In fact, even this other report of the department is also not a huge report. I think they can also present it within a quick space of time. I know they are quite. Can we agree that this is the minutes?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable. So, Nola, can we take the apologies?
Thank you, Chair. The apologies, the mic, I will use my software voice. I've got.
Now, open it for record.
Apologies. Before apologies registered on our table. The Honourable Matebe is off ill. The Honourable Madoka is also still off ill. The Honourable Mateis will not be able to attend the meeting due to party duties. As Honourable Matela has already said, she would like to be excused at 12:15. From the department side, according to our records, we've got the Minister of the DM who should be attending the SCOPA follow-up meeting.
Very much. On the floor, any further apologies? Only those given. Can we then give opportunity to members for the introduction? Can we start at the far end? Honorable, the last member there.
Good morning, Dennis Ryder, member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Malcolm Fink, also a member of the portfolio committee.
Thank you, my name is
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Maluku Masehele, member of the committee.
Thank you. Honorable Adams was last around. Has he gone out? Okay. My name is Humphrey Memezi, the chair of the portfolio committee. Can we go to our staff?
Thank you, Chair. The name is Nola
Flobodwana,
Committee
Secretary,
Eastern
Public Works.
Thank you.
In a Strictly Research Portfolio Committee in Public Works.
Thank you.
Good morning, Shoaib Nation, Content Advisor.
Thank you.
Good morning, Tom Long, to Nervasa, Committee
Okay. I've indicated earlier on that PMG always are here and they are doing a good job. Can you know who is here from them?
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Oluwale Oluwakemi from PNG.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning, President. My name is Liwani Ndou from Public Works.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can we then, DG, let's know your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. That side. It's maybe they can speak so
yeah.
That you should hear their voices.
Yeah. They must also hear us what they are doing in the department.
Good morning, President. Good morning, members. My name is Nele Dumantwell. I'm the Deputy Director General for Facilities Management, Public Works.
You are too soft. I want you to be heard.
Okay, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. My name is Nele Idris Makobele. I'm the Deputy Director General for Facilities Management, Public Works.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm Safa Subban. I head the Real Estate Investment Services Branch.
Very important,
Chairperson. Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Stanley Anderson,
I'm the DDG for the Expanded Public Works Program.
Morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Ronnie Musalo. I'm responsible for immovable asset management within the department.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Swansea Matthews. I'm the DDG responsible for the immovable asset register.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. I'm Bucha Matute. I'm the Deputy Director responsible for intergovernmental coordination.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Sam Bugela. I'm the DG.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Mthokozo Sidambe. I'm the Chief Director responsible for the Public Works White Paper Review Project.
Good morning, members. I'm Daya Gavanda, Deputy Director General of Real Estate Management. Thank you
very much. Very important position there for reversing the imbalances of the past. So we hope you are willing. We go 2 minutes. We didn't leave anybody out. Okay. Wish you the best. We deal with the minutes as ordered by the committee secretary. The 6th November, looking at the first page, second page, Madam Matela.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks very much. On the second page, under number one, second paragraph, I thought it would be much better if they did include who nominated and who subsequently won that position.
That be
the nomination of an acting chairperson.
Okay. We attend to that. The records will always assist if you don't remember. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5.
It's a very, very terse statement that last sentence to simply say the committee resolved that the president should be invited to prevent the approved IDT structure. I would want us to have at least one more sentence to say why we came to that resolution, because I don't know whether we are comfortable to assume that it's because of the observations in 1, 2, 3, and 4. Maybe I'm being too elaborate, I don't know.
Yeah. No, to make it clearer, so you're suggesting correcting the phrasing. So can we add that? Okay, Mr. Secretary, these are the minutes where I arrived late, but need to do the closing part. Are these the same minutes?
Yes, sir.
Because the initial I saw was like I didn't come. Now that showing that I didn't come. Mm-hmm.
Secretary, are you attending to what I'm checking? That the minutes must show that I did come almost towards the end of the presentation, and the acting chair did brief me on the ground that was in the system. And then I dealt with the minutes. So it should be like I didn't come. So can we then approve the minutes with those corrections? I'm looking for the member, Honorable Dani.
Okay.
We're part of the meeting. Very much. We're moving to the 13th. First page. Okay, Honorable Masera.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. On the first page, under the attendance by committee members, I realize my name is on it. And I was there.
Can that be attended to? That's why we always check the minutes to ensure that your efforts of ensuring you attend the meeting. The secretary wants me to remind members that this was a joint committee meeting. But we were participants as this committee. So in terms of ourselves as participants, we can check in, but full adoption will be when both committees meet. But from our side, we'll do whatever we think is correct, like correcting who was there and correcting the whole, anything that is wrong, because we were participants in the meeting. So let's correct it. And from our side, we agree, wait for the other people, but wait having done our side of the work. That was the first page. Second page, Honorable Pedane.
Still on first page, the very first line on the agenda. It's possible that the way it was put in the agenda, just to say for identified security deficiencies, I thought we would want to be specific and say in the parliamentary procedure, so that we're not, somebody doesn't think that we're looking generally.
In the parliamentary
procedure.
I think it makes sense. Honorable Rider.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, going back to the matter that we raised at the meeting, the meeting notice not include item one, it merely included item two as far as I can recall. So, and I do recall arriving about a minute late for that meeting, but I'm not aware that there was an adoption of an alternative agenda. So that agenda needs to reflect the agenda of the meeting. Perhaps I can be guided. Was there an amended agenda adopted before I got there?
Upon the discussions that were had in the meeting in which Honorable Ryder raised the issue that there was no second agenda item, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police did clarify the matter to say it was therefore later added to the agenda and it was dealt with during a meeting. So I think because minutes are a reflection of what happened in the meeting, then we have to also reflect it on here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. From where I sit, what is important is the concerns that were raised in partner by public works honorable members. It's important that we ensure that they are also raised in the meeting, so that because at least I think I also confirmed what you said, because it was like the item was really pushed through without really, even the department, the DG was expected to respond on something that he was seeing for the first time, which was an anomaly, which we had to clarify. Because if you don't clarify, it appears as if the department came there and didn't respond to what was discussed, whereas they were in fact hijacked to discuss the issues that were not part of the, their own understanding, which is what the members raised. So I think as we go through, then we must be able to ensure that the minutes do reflect that, because it was an anomaly that was pushed through. We still now owe an opportunity for the Department of Public Works led by the DG to respond to all the issues that were raised in that meeting. But others, we in there and there dealt with them, but I think the minutes must also show, because there was even a proposal that the joint session must declare a vote of no confidence to the Public Works Department and must take that to the National Assembly. So which is something that we did not agree. I think we must ensure that then the minutes reflect things that we clarified.
So having said that, Chairperson, and based on what the Honourable Kusani has said, if we change item one on the agenda, I also, okay, late, but I recall that the discussion was not by SEPs, was not only around the safety on the precinct, because a number of issues were raised as well. So that's why if we're going to change that, to include that, then again, it's going to be problematic or incorrect or inaccurate if we change that item, just to state identified security deficiencies on the parliamentary precinct. Because if you go through the minutes, you'll see that the briefing was not only that.
Honorable Masela.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I don't know as to whether this will better clarify that issue on page number 5, the first paragraph, which indicates that we were to deal with the safety on the present. But somehow they came up with the report or the presentation that included everything. I think it's there.
So page number 5,
the first paragraph,
the first paragraph is clarifying that the meeting.
It was for the prison, for the parliamentary prison. But they came with the presentation that they included everything.
Outside the parliament. So I think, because that was the view of the portfolio of public works, I think it's important that we put things the way we understood them. So if the people in the police side understood them the way, then that was the reason why you raise them. So to correct them the way you understand, that's how we have accepted what the correction by Honorable done. Can we continue correct the way we understand? Okay? On page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, Honorable Reda.
Chair, yeah, look, I'm not sure if my comment comes in on page 5, 6 or 7, because it's an omission, it's not a correction of what's here, but the fact is that it was raised at the meeting that the establishment of a joint planning committee was discussed at the first meeting, that committee needs to be established. And it was raised again at this meeting. Now, I don't want us to lose track of the fact that that joint planning committee is the one that needs to determine the way forward in this. And really, as I mentioned at that meeting, if you leave it up to the police, we're going to be living in Fort Knox or CMAX, whatever you want to call it. If you leave it up to public works, then we're going to break down the walls and let us come and go as they please. So there needs to be a committee that has the interest of everyone. And that is not noted here.
Okay, what we should then advise is where should we pick it, the content advisor, we must assist where that point. We must not allow issues that we feel strongly were raised at the meeting to disappear. Otherwise, so can we say that the committee secretary and content advisor will see, you must reflect it in the body and then on the resolution. So it's there in the resolution. But in the body, it must also be reflected. Otherwise, it will result in something that we didn't deliberate on, some problem. So is that fine, Honorable? That it will content advisor you here. So you will ensure that in the body, that those points are raised and then into a resolution is also reflected. Page 6. Page 7. It goes to page 8. So with the understanding that these minutes are still to be built up with the corrections as we have indicated, we'll further deal with them when we come back in January. Hopefully thereafter the joint session will also come, but we have a duty to also participate with them. Can we note the them as a part of public works? We have noted these minutes. Who want to propose that we note these minutes?
I can take the chapter of the two things and try to check it.
Item number 6.
Page 7.
I guess this is referring to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. The first chair-to-chair meeting was the Portfolio Committee on Bullying. And they were joined, but there were sessions that were chaired by the other one. And then this one was chaired by the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. Around the meeting. So is that fine? Are we noting then this minute? Mr. Stolle and Mr. Dana. So we're moving to the minutes of the 14th. Is it the 14th? Page 1. We are on the minutes of the 14th. Page 2.
Honorable,
you check with the secretary.
Okay, so the who will attend to that, I think, because we have now raised it, I think that's been corrected. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairman. On the 14th of November, I was in absent, it was Wednesday, Labour Committee.
You were in the Labour Committee? No, no, I think I raised it.
You did?
Yeah, I raised it. I think because she did indicate that should be in the. I think it must also be corrected. The table there. So, yeah. Yeah, it was raised. Like, Honorable Radio Committee members. Okay, can that be corrected? Any further corrections? What is important indeed to correct the. Okay, we move into phase two. Okay. Moving to phase three. Can we move for the with the corrections for the adoption, Marcela?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 14th of November 2018 with corrections made. Second.
Dr. Finn, I take it that you seconded.
Maybe it's a statement.
Thank you very much. We're looking for those that were present. You were present until the end. Thank you very much. We're going to the 20th, the minutes of the 20th, is that correct? Page 1. We're looking at headers there. Can you check the headers there? Okay, we're moving to page 2. Page 3. Honorable Reader.
Thank you very much.
We'll put a blue stamp on this one,
No, no, I was also present. So remember, in this committee, we are always putting the work, we're not putting political parties there. We don't work that way. We don't want to be different now that the situation favors you. So remain for the portfolio committee. Mm-hmm. So the portfolio committee members must be appreciative of the fact that you were there for them. We are almost done with the minutes. Okay, thank you very much. And then we get to the report, to that report of the Gauteng. Okay, many of us were not there, but at least there are members who were present, such as, can we see who were present in that visit? Sultana was there, Marcela was there. So, Honorable Rede, were you there?
No, Chair, long before my time. But it would of course assist if the attendees were listed on this report as we were asked for with other similar visits.
Yeah, I think that should be a norm, to put people who attended.
Mm-hmm.
Because so that they are not forgotten, even if students want to, they must see their names. I think that's a good thing for who was there, because otherwise, now, they were attended, they just are signed, but they are not utilized. I think that is a good advice. So, too many pages. How do we do it?
I'm trying to check this draft report for sure there's a problem. What do you see it is untyped? They're supposed to go and wait to it because sorry, when it is like this, tell me that you said I'm supposed to go to the problem.
Okay, so you are saying it's not properly. Okay, is there a reason why it is not properly typed, Committee Secretary? Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on two issues. First, the Honorable Sutole's concern about the untitled report. The report was sent through with the track changes. Now, I could not do anything with the track changes because I was not part of the, I was not there when the report was drafted. I was not there during the oversight visit. So that's why I thought I should bring it as it is so that the committee members who were there, if there are any changes that they need to make or any amendments to that effect on the report can be made. Now, the second issue is, in the previous meeting in which the issue of the report was raised, it was resolved that there is nothing that this committee can basically do in terms of deliberations on this actual report, because most of the members that are here now were not there then. The chairperson even stated that we should only consider the report in terms of looking through it and just adopting it, just for the sake of adopting it, not to just leave it there before the end of the term. I think that was the, if my memory serves me right, and my colleague can actually vouch for me on this one, we can only, the best way to deal with this is just to adopt the report, shelve it on, and put it on the ATC, and that's that. Because there's literally nothing we can do about any other change for that matter. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Sudane and Honorable Masfera.
Thanks, Chair. My understanding, one, in so far as the format in which the report has been presented to us is concerned, is that there's supposed to be one standard way of preparing and presenting reports. It's the first time I see something like this, even where the current chairperson and the current secretary, you know, are present. They don't normally come with these lines and all that. So where my view, therefore, is that it should be rewritten in the normal way, And also, if we just present it for the sake of adopting it, to an extent, it undermines the function for which we went out to Gauteng in the first place, which is a critical element of our oversight. And when it is properly presented, scripted and presented, the members who are not there will be able to engage, you know, more fruitfully. So based on those two reasons, Chair, if it's not going to do much harm to our program to the end of the fifth parliament, I would suggest that it be rewritten in the normal way, and then first two meetings, at end of the first two meetings in the new year, we look at it, and the members can apply their minds to it. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Masera.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Indeed, some people were not there during the oversight, but I think at least by the time this was submitted to us, certain things that were already noticed that were not correct. For example, the last sentence where it talks about till and until. Till is already cancelled. The correct one is until. Why was it not just done in that session? So that when it comes here, a report that can be clearly read by us, even though we cannot change some of the things, but it needs to be clearly read.
Chairperson, with respect, I said it's very complicated matters here. So what has actually happened here is that this is a way of showing a report where changes have been made. That is what the Honourable Masihela is saying. It's to show that the one word has been changed to something. So the changes have been made. It's not necessary to rewrite the report. All that needs to be done now is when you print it, is just to press one button where you remove the track changes, and then it will print as it's supposed to be read. So while I agree the weight is not, yeah, fine, but I think the reason was just brought so that the members that made the changes can see what changes were made. So all you have to do, press one button and you print it, and it will come out pretty, so that the Honourable Sitolo can see it. So that's just my proposal. We just get it printed properly and then print it.
But in terms of do we adopt it now, or we wait for it to be written properly? Maybe what we can also say, remember, we are a successor in law of the team that went to Gauteng. They went there on our behalf. If there's anything that must be corrected, it is us who must fight their battle. So it cannot be like, no, we are not there. No, it's not a matter. So the government does not die. The portfolio committee does not die. Those that come in must still fight our fight. If they must correct, they must correct an area if it becomes like wrong. So I think it's our duty. So in fact, we must treat it as if you were there. You can't disown it. It's your committee, successor in law. Like the DG cannot tell us, good, no, I was not there 20 years back. You must answer. So I hope we understand that how we work in order. You were not a committee secretary, you don't tell us that. You are a successor in law. Is it successor in law? You deal with things as if you were there. Is it? So what do we do now? Do we go through it now? Or do you, because we can read, I can read, I was not there, but I can read it. That it is, the font is too late, it's too small. So what is the take of members? Honorable Jobo, you have your hand? You have your hand up.
No.
Okay, sure. What is the suggestion?
Well, in absence of any comments from the members that were there, I would say that we adopt the report, because again, I'm repeating what I said just now. The report was presented to the committee. It must have been. That is why there are changes there. So if you're saying that I must now inherit the report, then I would say that we adopt the report. And yeah, that's what I would say.
Honourable Masera.
Honourable Chair, I think it's true that we can adopt this report with the hope that follow the suggestion that it must be typed properly by the time it's being issued. It must be typed properly, and all the mistakes corrected there, or all the language corrected there, be corrected before it is issued.
So do we want to adopt it before it is, but I can't say we must own it. So can we note it, and then it must be presented in the next year, so that we deal it normally. Honorable President?
I agree with you, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay, so we're noting it, so it will come back with the properly, so that we deal with it with other reports. We own it. Okay, that is how we are summarizing it. So thank you very much. I'm told we are already late. So, Colleague Advisor would rely on you and the Committee Secretary on this report as well to ensure that next year we come back, we deal with it like we usually do. Okay, we now go to the, we have 1 hour, so I think the department would say, this is not a big document that they are presenting. So, Director General, we are in your hands in terms of briefing by the Department of Public Works on its responses to the high-level panel recommendations. Over to you, Director General.
Thank you.
Last one.
Just looking at the agenda, Chair, Tuesday, it's supposed to be a tea break. I'm not insisting we take it.
Okay. No, the problem is that we are already running out of time. So we would suggest that if the members are pressed, they just go one by one, because the time is really against us. We also want to, honourable members, the department, we insisted on them presenting, because portfolio committees were instructed by leaders of parliament to have a report on the high-level panel as portfolio committees. So I thought it will help you portfolio committee to tap from their skills how they would analyze the high-level report on how it affects. So we still have to do our work. Committee Secretary, Content Advisor, researcher, we still have to do our work as portfolio committee. So we must listen carefully, because it will help us when we do our report. Thank you very much. So those that are feeling like just answer the call of nature, please gently, quietly do that, because it's 1 hour already. So thank you very much, Gigi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The presentation, we have looked into the report, out of which we have identified issues that affect public works, because it's quite a report that covers a lot of areas. Those areas that public works is going to indicate will cover the issue of employment and sustenance, the issue of skill development, the issue of infrastructure development and maintenance, the area of removable assets, register, and then spatial planning and land use. We're going to look into that, cover that in terms of our report. The issue of intergovernmental relations, and also cover the area of legislation with respect to what we are doing. I don't expect my colleague to read through this. He's going to cover all those areas. We have suggested that instead of DDGs presenting, we're going to have one person present all the report in order to spare some time for some discussions after. But this was a collective report that covers various DDGs who are sitting here. they will assist in terms of responding to questions as and when they are presented. Our colleague here, Mr. Sidambe, who is in the policy unit, is going to take us through the presentation. I know when he presents, it takes his time, but today he won't spend a lot of time per slide. Yeah, it takes his time, but I think he's going to provide an overview per area of focus. Mr. Sidambe can take us through. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee and DG and DDG. It's quite a challenge. It's a 30-slide presentation. I'll do my best to liquidate it within 30 to 40 minutes. Let me try my best. But as already...
20 minutes,
Bala. 20 minutes. Chair, the next slide gives an outline of the presentation. I won't go into detail. The purpose of the presentation, as DG has already indicated, is to give a response in terms of the issues which are highlighted in the HLP, the high-level panel report. The report, if we can just provide a bit of context, the report shows that it covers quite a number of issues as they relate to the mandate of the department. DG has already alluded to those, so I won't mention each and every aspect. Some of the issues are core, while these other issues are cross-cutting, such as the issue of intergovernmental relations. We have also taken the opportunity to also highlight on some of the issues in as far as they link to the ongoing review of the Public Works White Papers. I'll go straight into the issues. If one goes through the report, you will note that it brings out 12 different challenges, and it also makes 13 proposals. What we have done, we have clustered these 12 challenges and 13 proposals into four categories. That's what we've done in terms of synthesizing the report. Perhaps before we even go there, Chair, is to acknowledge the report, because the report really touches on very fundamental issues, and is not only looking at challenges, but it also endeavors to provide insight in how some of these issues can be dealt with. I think that's something that needs to be flagged out. I indicated that there are four. We have clustered these into four thematic areas. The first one is employment creation and sustenance. The second cluster will deal with issues of immovable asset management. The third thematic area talks to special planning and land use management. And the fourth and last one will deal with issues of policy, legislation, and regulation. That's the fourth and last cluster. The first thematic area deals with the triple challenges. That's poverty, it talks to issues of inequality, it talks to issues of unemployment. Three challenges have been identified from the report and four proposals. I'll start with the challenges. The first challenge that has been identified is that poverty is embedded and unemployment and inequality perpetuate up to this stage. As a department, we acknowledge the challenge. I think it is common cause. It's something that we know, and we are highlighting that the department has a suite of different strategies and interventions to deal with poverty. These relate to reforms in terms of our procurement regime. They relate to contractor development program. They relate to public employment programs such as the PWP. We also highlight that our entities are also active in terms of addressing these challenges. If one goes through their strategic plans, goes through their APPs, and also the programs that they are implementing. Just as a way of emphasis, we highlight in that our public employment programs, specifically EP
PWP tries to address all the five key aspects that are associated with public employment programming. They deal with short-term shocks, deals with the implementation of provision of large-scale employment programs, labor intensity, and also enhancing employability of the participants in EPWP. The second element or challenge that has been raised in the report is that EPWP tends to be short-term focused. The department is currently engaging on the review of phase three of EPWP and is taking this challenge seriously. And we want to give comfort to the portfolio committee that we are coming up with alternatives that will address the short-termism that is associated with EPWP without going into detail. The third element is that has been raised, I think this was through public hearings, is that there's a lot of bias towards labor-intensive economic activities. We acknowledge that this is a fact, as it is addressing a fundamental and structural challenge amongst our communities. However, we are acknowledging that there is need to provide even more opportunities for non-labor-intensive economic activities if we have dealt with providing economic opportunities for the less skilled members of society. Four proposals were made. The first one is that EPWP needs to be expanded. We are acknowledging that is being considered and will be reflected in terms of the extent of EPWP. A proposal is made for the banning of temporary work. We are highlighting that short-term work opportunities in EPWP provide a form of social security, and that the issue of short-termism, as already alluded to, will be addressed in terms of the next phase of EPWP. A third proposal is that EPWP needs to be scaled up and the issue of skill transfer must be embedded. We acknowledge this. We are important agreement with that, and the next phase will definitely take on board, actually to expand, because this is already a critical element within the EPWP. A fourth proposal, and the last one in the report is for EPWP to concentrate on rolling out large public funded infrastructure. We support that proposal. Obviously, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure that the propensity for employment creation in terms of large scale infrastructure projects is improved. Obviously, we operate within the macroeconomic environment where fiscal discipline is an important element, and therefore that will also be taken into consideration. Chair, that deals with the issue of the first thematic area. The second thematic area relates to movable asset management. One challenge was actually picked out from the report, and one proposal is contained in the same report. The challenge is that there is inadequate and inappropriate infrastructure, and the report makes a specific point to say with respect to education facilities. We acknowledge that as a department and working within the confines of intergovernmental relations framework, this is an issue that needs to be dealt with because of the direct and indirect impact of education in terms of addressing poverty, unemployment, and inequality. The department is working through such programs as ACIDI to deal specifically with the issue of inappropriate educational infrastructure. We also highlight that the public works function is a concurrent mandate, and as such that addressing this issue demands the participation of all three spheres of government. and as such will pursue these interventions cognizant of involving all the three spheres of government. The proposal which has been made is that there is need for effective oversight mechanism and the evaluation of current assets and public inspection of immovable asset management. This is already happening. Obviously, there is room for improvement, and as a department, we endeavor to continue to improve on the aspect of oversight. GIAMA is our main legislative ammunition with regard to providing oversight with respect to immovable asset management. But that proposal is taken with the seriousness that it deserves. The third thematic area is that of special planning and land use management. Beginning through the report, one will see that there are three challenges which have been identified and four proposals which have been made. The first challenge is that of urban climate, where few cities dominate the socio-economic landscape of the country. And we are saying this is a very serious challenge. It replicates at a regional or at a provincial level, or even at a metro level, through where we find one or two cities within a province which actually create all the economic opportunities. This has serious implications in terms of provision of services such as housing, such as transport, but also in terms of addressing inequalities, geographically speaking. A host of policies and programs implemented by the department, but also across the public sector, are meant to address these issues. The department commits to continuing with these interventions. The third challenge highlighted is that there is lack of overarching approach and appropriate institutional framework for special planning. The point being made is that issues to do with special planning and land use management are found across different sectors and different departments. As such, the report has ventured to propose the establishment of a coordinating structure responsible for special planning and special development. This proposal is supported within the confines of intergovernmental relations, particularly with respect to the IGRA Framework Act number 13 of 2005 and other prescripts which are meant to bring about coordinated development. Four proposals were met. The first one being the establishment of consistent and coherent use, selection and disposal requirements for state-owned land. Chair, we have a draft national special development framework and PMT is making input to ensure that there is alignment and deals with bringing consistency and coherence across the public sector when it comes to issues of disposal and development of land. There is commitment to expedite the process so that it deals with all the challenges which have been identified. The second challenge is that, the proposal has been made that there is need to identify well-located state land to address inequality. This proposal is supported. Not only is it supported, the department through PMTE is working in collaboration with other organs of the state, notably the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, to identify and release suitably located land for agriculture and also for accelerated land reform processes to deal with different land 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 use needs.
across the country. Two interrelated proposals have been made, also linking to the previous proposal, that expropriation must focus on provision of well-situated land parcels, especially where it can be proved that the owners are holding such land or pieces of land for speculative purposes, and that such parcels of land should be redistributed to meet the needs of the citizens. And the expropriation bill, without going into detail, is being drafted to address, amongst other challenges, the issues which are highlighted here, dealing with speculative land holding, but also dealing with releasing land to deal with the dire need for land by different sections of the community, without obviously losing focus on maintaining economic productivity and protecting food security. The last thematic area touches on issues of policy, legislation, and the regulation. There are five challenges which are highlighted and four proposals which have been made. Challenge one, which has been cited, is the silo practice. It's highlighted in the report that this affects parliamentary legislative role. As a department, we continue to participate in intersectoral and interdepartmental platforms in order to make sure that there is a holistic approach to policy making and our contribution to the legislative making process. The second challenge, which has been put, that there is need to define and contextualize the concept of just and equitable compensation with respect to the land question. This is an issue, Chair, which is being addressed within the ongoing enhancement or work in terms of the expropriation bill. So we can keep a tab in terms of or in terms of this definition and the context which will be provided in the final version of the expropriation bill. Delays. Through the public hearings, one of the issues which has been highlighted is that delays are foreseen in passing the expropriation bill as a result of calls for expropriation without compensation. Chair, if you allow me, I don't think I need to go through where this bill is and what is being done. We have already highlighted in terms of what has been covered. A lot of the other issues in terms of challenges, Chair, they touch on what has already been covered, especially with respect to immovable asset management. If I can just move over and focus on the proposals which have been made. Proposal one, we have already dealt with that. Both proposal one and two, as well as three. Proposal four is that there is need to avoid coming up with a lot of legislation to deal with single issues. I think it's a try and amalgamate the legislative instruments. For ease of administration and for ease of accountability. We support, the department supports this proposal, obviously taking cognizance that lawmaking is the prerogative of Parliament. However, the department will provide technical advice where there is potential for pieces of legislation to be amalgamated for ease of accountability and administration. Chair, there are four slides which we have put to as a way of confirming that if one goes through the HLP report, it is picking on issues that the Public Works Policy Review Process has also unearthed. I don't need to go through that because it would be a repetition. Perhaps to indicate, Chair, that towards the end, the next two slides, we have presented some of the thinking which is coming out through the consultations that have been done by the department. They are calls to come up with a new white paper, albeit with an indication that the new white paper must be inward looking. There are proposals to say we need a construction act, we need a property and construction ombudsman, that we also need to design policies which will make sure that the state is able to push its socio-economic agenda through its procurement muscle. By way of recommendation, Chair, it is recommended that the Portfolio Committee notes the different strategies with respect to the challenges highlighted and the recommendations which have been made in the high-level panel report. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. If I'm sure where there are questions, the colleagues will be able to amplify on those strategies which have been highlighted. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You respond on in terms of 20 minutes. Thank you very much. Can we have the light? Is there anything you want to ask?
They are the contributors to this presentation, such that if they can start speaking, they might take longer. But maybe we should allow them to say one word or two with respect to their area of responsibilities, starting from the DCG facilities. Okay, maybe.
No, thanks, I think. In terms of the spatial integration and spatial alignment, it's important to note that 79% of our population, they live in the major cities, and there's increasing pressure for us to look at urban, well-located land as well to respond to those pressures. But with that being said, there's 18% of our population that live in rural areas without any, and I think the chair mentioned this, with no services at all. So you have both tensions that one has to manage. So when we look at the problem of how we address both these tensions, we'd have to look at both the urban and the rural problem in a consolidated manner.
No, we'll be guided by honourable members.
Well, Chair, I think everything's in order. I mean, I think we're also aware now that there's been a firm decision taken that the Constitution will indeed be amended to include an appropriate provision in relation to the issue of expropriation without compensation. So I'll rest there.
So my advice is, because you still worrying about defining a just and, you know, equitable, you know, when we are moving away. So we must advise him that we have moved. The Parliament has taken a resolution. Your own governing party has taken a resolution. So you pretend that you have not covered all these grounds. Thank you. Okay, honourable members, this is how far the officials could go in looking through the high-level panel, which is a big document. It has an executive summary that also good. It's very, very friendly. You can see that it is written by senior citizens. Yeah, it touches every area of South Africa. They are not looking only, they are looking at the South Africa as a whole, because South Africa is not so wet. Just thinking that South Africa is so wet is wrong. South Africa is outing. It's wrong. You know, this smallest province that is taking a bigger population and industry won't sustain. Won't sustain. We already cannot even drive. You see, so it's even in on peak hours, we cannot even drive. So we have a lot of beautiful land with a beautiful coastal. So it needs to be developed. We must develop industries in all these areas. We can't be sticking to what we have fully created. You can't create something new. So we cannot drive in these cities. We are congested. Let's ensure we don't reach us bay. Are growing. Let's grow. You know, the coastal towns internationally are moving faster. Coastal towns moving faster, faster. The sea, you can bomb the rocks in the sea so that you level the ground there. You create new harbors. What's wrong with you? You want to stick with it. So please, make our name as move. In fact, your presentation, it is like you were in 1998 and 1999, when the governing party was from the December conference in 97. You are talking about drafting things that we said then. You were not moving. But after let me hear the members, maybe they think we are moving. Members. Honorable Zania, Honorable Stole, Honorable Noreda, Dr. Flick, in that order.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair, and thank the Department for having taken the initiative to engage with the high-level panel report. I must say that certainly they do in the committee as a permanent member and as an alternate in two others. It's the first time that I hear of a department that is actually taken off the floor, that is taken the high level report and done something so constructive about. And I want to compliment the department for having taken that initiative. Honestly, I do.
Wait, you're gonna change.
Wait. This meeting is like the one which I missed out, which was attended by the ANZDA. It's an informative meeting. I'm not, I haven't got my boxing gloves today. It's just questions for clarity and perhaps suggestions here and there. On slide 4, you talk of composing, you know, panels there. Or forming panels of service providers to facilitate awarding of contracts to companies now. But I would like to know, literally, just to be sure that I understand you well, are you thinking of forming panels that are going to, for lack of a better term, adjudicate or suggest what the specifications should be for awarding contracts, or are you talking about having a pool of service providers
You talk about a pool of service providers. Okay, fine. Now, when, if that is the case, are you going to, how frequently are you going to revise these pools of service providers, and what is your structured plan for evaluating, you know, their presence and performance, if that's the case? Because you do get an institution, could even be a bank for that matter, that says, here is a pool of lawyers that we use for conveyancing, and it stays like that for years with no provision for new entries. And I think in the public space in which you operate, I think you should have as part of your policy to say this is going to be revised maybe every 2 years or something like that to provide, and even actually put it in the policy that 50%, you know, of the people who are there could very well be removed and so on, to provide for recycling, to minimize recycling and provide for new entries, you know. Otherwise, kids have got no reason to do surveying and what have you, and architecture, if there is no prospect of them getting onto the panel. And now, on slide 6, you speak favorably of limiting the 2-year selling limitation, rather, on the participation of workers. Now, two questions there, Chair. One, how is, because you're going to be having permanent people, as it were, there now. Now, how are you going to structure this? Are you going to employ these people in a formal way, as different from a situation where a local council has just pinpoints people for the EPWP? Because this is going to be formal employment now. Have you structured yourselves to actually engage them as formal employees of the department in that case? And who will be the employee? Is it going to be the municipality, or is it going to be the department, or that relevant department, or are these people going to be employed by the Department of Public Works? Because it's going to be formal employment, this is talking about removing it. The secondary or ancillary question is, how is this going to affect your budget going forward? That is, in other words, the minimum wage. Because I don't think that every employee in the EPWP was necessarily enjoying 3,500. I want to guess that some people were perhaps getting 1,000 rents and so on. And there was even plenty of scope for, you know, for discrimination. So my main point is, who is going to be the employer now? Because that is going to be identified. Is it going to be the relevant department, or is it going to be public work, saying here are people that we've employed and you can use them as that given department, and are you structuring yourself to engage them formally? On slide 14, it's a very, very touching issue that you touched on there. I actually felt the pain when you talked of the three metros that are absorbing the people who are educated enough, so to speak, to engage in economic activities for employment. You know, as an example outside from my own province, Eastern Cape, the budget of the Eastern Cape, Honorable Chair, has actually come down exactly because in the Eastern Cape, there isn't a huge drive to create employment within the province. And as it is, I don't know which X this is, but as it is, the Eastern Cape loses millions of what should have been their allocation exactly because it's not employing people. It's own people. People from the Eastern Cape find the employment in the Western Cape, KZN, and Gauteng in large numbers, thousands every year. Now, I want to make a special appeal, not because I come from this, because someone from the Kopo could be having, you know, a similar problem. Just make sure that as you implement, in other words, I'm reinforcing your resolve to tackle this, to spread the economic cake of South Africa, to say what can be done in terms of roads in Gauteng. Certainly, it should be done in the Eastern Cape. We buy the same cars, we drive as human beings on roads. We also want good roads there, buildings and so on. So try and make sure that you really implement this one, you know, in a manner that will really bring change. because it's painful to read in the papers that the Eastern Cape every year loses millions because it cannot employ its people. Lastly, Chair, on slide 17, you talk of a number of departments. You highlight rural development, where you're going to TMC's work in close collaboration with the Bureau of Rural Development and Land Reform to identify land for agricultural land purposes. Now, I would want public works to stand out and be seen as a department that accommodates all sorts of sources for economic development. As much as I'm a permanent member of rural development, but it pains me that time and again, when you think about land, you think about agriculture. I would want public works to engage positively, suggesting, Chair, that do talk to small businesses. I am from there. One of the killers is being unable to find space where you can trade. You go to the pavements of these big and small towns, you'll find a lot of our people trading in the streets. Purposefully, public works should be looking to create, small hubs for those people. Because the moment you create a hub, or the moment you make the land with buildings available, people will definitely be attracted and start their small businesses. You may find that when you engage with small business, department of small businesses, that a lot of their people can't start off because they do not have trading space. So I will leave it at that for now, Chair. So the second chance is a small question I've got, but I thought I must highlight this major one. Thanks.
Honorable Stoller. I'm just not sure. I'm a second time. He's optimistic.
Okay, now, Chair, actually, Honorable Victor may cover me because my concern was on especially of EPWP and the employment of EPWP. But the only one thing that I wanted to find out is the relationship between other departments, other departments on land issue. Because when you check on your document, I think it's on page 27. I don't know in page 27. Where you are talking about the provision of page 25. Proposal where you are talking about the provision of one situated private land where landowners are holding it for speculative purposes. I was trying to if you can just actually unpack it on what does that mean? Because the concept that we have is private land that has been owned by private owners who are not tradable, which you can't find. So now what mechanism do you have to trace the private owners?
Thank you very much, Honorable Rider.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me appreciate the presentation. Perhaps I can start on the cover, though, and I think that it's important to give the panel report its full name. Because there have been several high-level panel reports that have come through over the years. And specifically, this is a high-level panel report on the assessment of key legislation and the acceleration of fundamental change. And I think it's important to include that whole title because the reality is that the mandate of the panel, while it spoke to looking at gaps in legislation as well, was to assess key legislation. And there's not enough that's come out of public works over the years in terms of legislation to enable change. And as you always say, Chair, addressing the imbalances of the past. So it is for that reason that I'm appreciative that we see quite a lot of comments about white papers at the back of the report. And I think that those that have bothered to listen to me over the last 14 months have heard me for 14 months that I've been here talking about white papers and the department knowing the direction that they need to be going in. And therefore, Okay, so the first thing I did when I got the high-level panel report a couple of months ago and I sat down was I did a search on public works to see what I could find. And I'm sure that we all did that because, you know, that's the quick and easy way. And we would have found that public works is not mentioned directly in this report at all. And the key reason for that is because public works is an enabling department. We are not the department that goes out necessarily and does the work itself, but we are an enabler. We or you, I consider myself part of you, so I'm appropriated to you all and attach myself to you. So the fact is that specifically the report deals with things and it talks repeatedly about access to, and it says access to quality healthcare, access to quality education. These are points that are detailed both in the executive summary and in the body. Let's talk about access to. And providing that access is a key role of public works. So I think the report points a lot of fingers to public works, although indirectly. And the fact is that one needs to understand, is there sufficient role clarification between user departments and public works to talk to this matter of providing access to in order to accelerate fundamental change? And the reality is no, there's not. Because who does the planning? Is there an entity that plans where we're going to start building schools? Does public works have capacity? You know, if the Department of Education comes in and gives you a list, bang, these 50 schools need to be built in the next year. Does public works have the capacity to do that and address that? And you know, what is the level of planning? Who decides where these things go? And I'm not sure that we understand that. And I'm not sure user departments understand that. And that is, again, why we're talking about the urgency of developing white papers and going through this process of role clarification. And absolutely, role clarification between public works and user departments is the biggest thing that we can take out of this high-level panel report. Just something that may have gone unnoticed, I see it's not mentioned in the report, but on page 54 of the high-level panel report, there is a direct reference to a piece of legislation that falls within the ambit of this department. So on page 54, it refers to a very old act. It's the State Land Lease and Disposal Policy. That hasn't been addressed in this discussion. Perhaps the department just needs to check up on that. Then obviously the high-level panel report gives quite a lot of focus to the issues around expropriation without compensation, and their recommendations are quite strong in that regard. And I think that, if nothing else, the department needs to keep those references from page 50 to 56, I think it is, of the executive summary. I'm not sure what the page numbers are in the main body. But as we move towards designing that Expropriation Act going forward, I think the department needs to keep a focus on the recommendations within this Act and to keep that in the back of the mind. And I think that perhaps, considering the mandate of the high-level panel report, the fact that they were also looking for gaps in legislation, they speak about an Expropriation Act, they speak about expropriating land, perhaps in your presentation or in the back of your mind, it would have been nice to have it in the presentation, but it would be just to keep in mind their comments about the importance of land rights. Chair, then I want to talk about SPLUMA, and let's talk about urban spaces and rural spaces. So if one looks at the high-level panel report again, I think it's page 58 or so, where it's addressing the fact of talking about rural spaces and the need to work better on those. Is Department of Rural Development and Land Reform the correct place to house SPLUMA, Special Land Use Management Act? And I don't believe Public Works is either, but I think we should have some sort of a say or some involvement in SPLUMA. And perhaps, Chairperson, going over the next 6 months, you need to start whispering in whoever the ear will be of the new president of the country. Perhaps we can do that. We can whisper in the ear of the new president of the country and talk about, you know, when departments are formed.
I thought you were correct. You know the reality. So the chair must speak to the president. So any other
dream. No, we'll take that. That's fine. But just to consider the placement of a thing like the Spatial Land Use Management Act and spatial planning generally, because I think public works is forever playing catch up in terms of developing. You know, for example, there's a big development in Gauteng, Savannah City. Savannah City is housing 18,000 households, and of course with that comes a requirement for schooling, for police stations, for all government services. Okay? I'm not sure that Public Works has even had this on their radar yet, and yet the user departments are already talking about, no, in 2022 we will have this, in 2023 we will have this, etc., etc. But Public Works is not on board. And some sort of a planning department, a national planning, spatial planning department needs to come in place. And Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is not the right department for that as far as I'm concerned. If it is, then they need to change their name. Chair, and then just two short corrections. In the thing on page 22 on slide 22, Parliament didn't withdraw the bill, Parliament rejected the bill. So just to get that terminology correct. And then on page 32, just proposal number 10. I'm still trying to work out what that means. Enhance the capacity of the capacity. That is the sector. I'm not sure what that proposal is. But in terms of the rest of this, I do want to appreciate, like Mr. Pathani mentioned, we've taken the report and responding to it as best we can, I think. And I mean, thank you for the work that's gone into it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. So, like I always say, or not always, often, that I hope that this report is not for the committee. I hope this report is to be implemented. Because I also want to appreciate the report. It's a good report, similar to the last one we received at the last briefing. Is that it's good work that has been put into this, and a good effort. And as I said, if it's implemented, it's not for me, it's for the people out there. And it will make the report and the effort worthwhile. Just in terms of the presentation, if I can make a few comments and maybe some issues for clarification. On slide number 6, I think 6 and 7, I just... 6. Oh, yeah. This Honourable Fitani raised a point about the limitation of 2 years. Now, agreed. There's a reason for this, because it's short term. It's too short term. Not much can be achieved in 2 years. But what I would like to say about this is that there was a good system previously, and it seems as though some institutions, like you see the colleges, are moving in that direction again, is the use of, well, previously it was the use of apprentice boards, apprentice boards where artisans were trained. And that is where I believe it. So perhaps Public Works is not really the department that should, maybe they should provide inventory the skill, the members, in order to be trained. And I believe maybe the Department of Labor is the institution that should really focus on that, because they are the experts here. While I understand the intention of EPWP is to skill workers, but I'm not so sure, maybe I'm wrong here, is that, you know, we really need skill. What is, you know, a proper skill? And one of the skills was training a worker to become an artisan. And you know, we talk about 2 years. I know previously we had the apprentice boards, then you could do a major, what was then called a major apprenticeship in, I think it's 2 or 3 years, nevertheless. But, you know, those are the things we need to look at. Then it takes the responsibility of the all this corruption that is going on in EPWP and all that away, because then you allocate this responsibility to a particular body. So I just believe maybe, you know, there should be some sort of a collaboration with regards to that. You know, the apprenticeship boards, because I believe somebody told me, I was surprised to hear the other day that the Olifantsfontein Training Center is still
alive. I voted that night. So those, you know, maybe one needs to work with that, because no better place to establish whether somebody is skilled than using that sentence. I don't know what it's called. It's got another name.
It's got different name.
Yeah. Okay, but nevertheless, so I'm just saying that one needs to look at that. It's the same place. So with regards to the challenges and skills development, I think I believe that it would be useful to use the apprenticeship boards and that sort of thing. Then if I go to slide number 11, just a comment on this. There was a report recently, and I know sometimes we don't want to always listen and believe reports in the newspapers, but I believe that your implementing agents, let me not mention any specific one, they are failing the department, because I mean it was reported recently in the media that first of all they are delaying, they're not working as efficient as they should, and the contractors that have been appointed by themselves are also not contractors that are performing their functions that is the requirement of public works. And I mean, the department is now getting the blame, whereas it's the implementing agency is failing the department. So one maybe needs to look at reviewing the work of the implementing agent, because if you look at the ACIDI, I think that's mentioned here, or nevertheless, but ACIDI, apparently the targets are frequently not met. So maybe, you know, one needs to review and say, are we using the right, correct implementing agent? And one of them that came out as not performing very well was the CDC, Cooper. So just a comment as far as that is concerned is that, again, the idea is there, the objective is there, but because your consultants are not performing, the department gets a bad name. And so maybe one must bite the bullet and say, well, sorry, you're not, because there's enough. I mean, there's IDT, DBSA, KUCHA, I think there's more. There's not, I mean, there are many. And one needs to really look at whether these people need to be paid at management fee, which they are paid. Clearly, it's not. Slides number 17 and 18, I just want to, if I look at that, yeah, this is, now, for the, I just want to make a point here. It's not a political statement, it's an economic statement. While we understand the spatial development, it's skewed, clearly. And, you know, people are living too far from their places of employment, we know that. And over and above that, people want to live closer to the cities. But I think when that decision is made, I'm just thinking aloud here, is the criteria, what is the criteria that is looked at? For example, it doesn't make sense, economic sense, to put a low-cost housing next to an area where there's high-cost housing, you know, that sort of thing. And sometimes you find that is the decision that is made by, in some cases, in your local government. So at the end of the day, why I say it's an economic statement is that you find in the value of the high cost, obviously somewhere someone needs to lose, and so you find your high cost houses are the ones that then get devalued, and if a house is devalued, then obviously the rates are lower and so forth. So one must really think before just moving. I understand everybody has a right to live closer to the city if they want to, but I'm just saying that before that decision is made as to re-looking or reviewing that spatial location, one really needs to look at what criteria is used, not just, okay, well, we're putting everybody closer to the city. Not everybody wants to live closer to the city like me. I prefer living in the rural areas. I'm just waiting for my farm, and once I get my farm, then I will move. Then with regard to, again, the expropriation bill that is obviously going to come to this committee, not in the parliament. But again, yes, it's mentioned that expropriation without compensation and a whole lot of the act, what's going to be included in the bill and the act, but there is a lot of land that is owned by public works. There's a lot of properties that are owned by public works. Here's a question that I would like to ask. Is that going to be used or distributed before the land is expropriated? It's just a question, you know, that sort of thing. Because there's valuable land that can be used.
And then, Honourable Chairperson, just one more slide, or pet is the one on slide number. Okay, now it's fine. It's the one that deals with expropriation as well, and my question will be the same as, you know, there's a lot of land that the department owns, and will that be distributed before any expropriation takes place? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Well, from my side, DG, if you look into the report we wrote to ourselves dealing with EPWD, you will realize that you are not only hearing from the high-level panel about the importance of training and even giving certificates to participants, so that when they go out, they can easily be marketable. Somebody who started with the EPWD with nothing can then have something. So you focus on skilling South Africans. So because EPWD is a massive project, but currently the officials of government are not looking at it that way. You simply have no eyes on it, on the benefit of the South Africans, and yet you are related to these people. I'm feeling that, it's not on that a person who is standard 10 will join EPWD, but will go out without anything, not even a computer certificate. Not even paving, you know, understanding paving or brick making, whatever. There's no skill that you can think of giving those people, even in urban areas. They come empty-handed, they've been there for 3 years, but they cannot show a certificate. Because there's no focus. Everybody's busy in Pretoria. Ma'am, are you happy about that situation? This majority of poor South Africans, because people that are involved in the EPWP are the real poor South Africans. So they expect their government to assist a little bit. We wrote it in our report. It's not like you are hearing it now. Anyway, these things were said in 97 when we were from the conference of the governing party. So you can't be like now you are realizing it now. So you can take as a public servant, not only public works, public servant in South Africa, in Bala, those that are black like me, you are not helping. You are not helping. You know what will happen? South Africans would become out of hand because they are losing, even the jobs are becoming smaller and smaller. So you are public servants to save the country. You are operating the budget that can change the situation, the direction, make somebody who was hopeless to have some hope. EPWP is one problem that can be done. Certificate on small things, that target, things that can make these people a better people. So I think your eyes are not there. You are not on the ball. You are just politicking elsewhere. You are fighting for our position. You are dealing with our things. You are public servants. You shouldn't be there. Those that are in hospitals must look in hospitals. Ensure that patients are attended to. Leave politics. That is EPWP. But, you know, when you are in the public works, you are in a strategic department in terms of making South Africa work. It can't be a slogan. Must be something that can be done.
the importance of small harbors in creating jobs, because where South Africa is going to explode is unemployment level. You know, others are saying now it's almost 57%. Others are saying so. You think these people will understand all the time? There will come a time when they will make our country ungovernable. Your port offices won't be port anymore. When they are coming closer, you will remember me. So because they can see, we are dealing with a lot of billions, né? But where are these billions going? You are wasting them. They are going to Mauritius. They are not spent on projects that are value for money. So our focus is not really, really helping. There are things that public works, at least public works, can do. So I think in job creation, there's a lot. You don't focus only on EPWP. Not only, you know, small harbors. Even here in Cape Town, we have about 37 small harbors. Others are unproclaimed, but they can create lots of jobs, even here. But in areas where there's none, create some. Then that, you create hope, and so that matriculants, because we are now making matriculants every year now, you know, big numbers. But if there's no hope, those big learned people in department are not providing anything, then everybody will be fighting over nothing. When we can create, because this country is one country that can indeed produce a lot. That's why you have people from other countries flocking here. In fact, they are taking over. And it's not a good situation, because your people are not trained. They can't compare with the Zimbabweans. Zimbabweans are highly trained. So what are you doing to train your people? At least to do something to, so that at least they can rely on their hands. Even if you don't have metric, there are things a standard aid can do if paving does not start then. The artisan work, there are things you can do, some basics that you can do. So you can do, you know, public work can, there are projects where you can do those things. So I think your spirit is not in the right focus. So I urge you, you can't be a DTG, you can't be a Director General, and you are happy with what is happening in South Africa. You just can't be, because you are not, they are not talking about you. You think those that, remember, all of you from directors, in fact, from assistant director to a director, chief director, all those people should be worried about what is happening in South Africa. Please be worried. So I hope you will be worried and do something, because your department is giving you opportunity to do. You know, somebody was talking about the Savannah City in Gauteng. Somebody had to spend sleep there, force it to happen. Then it happened today. People are talking, they don't know how it was forced. People didn't want it. But somebody forced it. It became a reality. Now it's rich. Somebody forced it. So force things. Make things happen. This thing would be, God will erase it. So I think one of the members, you have already sent the officials. But I'm really not thanking you. I'm serious. I'm not thanking you. I'm really not thanking you. I think public works, there's a lot you can do. I hope you will understand this thing. There's a lot for South Africans, for those that are poor, those that need more skills, those that were excluded by apartheid. Their hope is their own government. At all. They are hope of this ordinary. They, no, when they see you people, ordinary job, they have hope.
but I think their hope now is dying down. They think you are considering yourselves and your families and girlfriends and the other people. So please, from where I sit, I don't think you are moving. Because the fact that the areas such as Eastern Cape are dying. So public works is a department that can teach people how to do things, force them to move, use the economy, the coastal economy, the sea, force them, like copy the Richard Bay, assist people in Richard Bay to move. So public works is a department that assists others. That's where I don't think I see your movement. So I just hope you will be motivated to push for South Africa, because we are in a right department. Even the issue of artisans can be created by various departments. Remember, public works through the CBE, through the CIDB, you see, the minister went to Indaba, organized by the CIDB. You know, that speech he gave there, that support he gave there about artisan. We need more artisan in all fields. So if you can push those, it will assist many South Africans who have no relatives. South Africa cannot be a country only if you have a relative somewhere. If you have no relative, there's nothing for you. Please, you public servants are relatives of the poor. If a person is poor, it's the person that you must defend. The Constitution is clear in terms of empowering those that are hopeless. It's already clear. So, but this thing of making laws, continue making laws forever, from 1994, you're still making laws. The people want a visible change. Can't be planning forever. People want change. So from where I sit, I urge you to move. I'm not convinced that you are moving. I'm not talking about this high-level planning. So I'm just taking a general in terms of the work of public work. I hope you understand me. So, in terms of, so from your side, I think I'm done. But honorable members, the expectation from Parliament is that as a portfolio committee, we must have a report on high-level planning. So be aware, so next year we'll have to look into it and then have our own bite. This was also empowering us, but we must also look into that report and also see what we can do. In the opening, I wished everybody, I appreciated everybody. What we always say as we go to the festive season, let's avoid wasting what we have. Let's save. Don't spend too much for Christmas. It will come and go. You rather prepare for next year. Please. So can we now thank everybody for coming and this meeting then adjourned.
No problem.
The department has not responded to
come.
Honourable members, is there a response that the department wanted to give?
Yes.
Please, I
know that my colleagues...
Chairperson, thank you, Chairperson. Can I propose that if they can respond to written
in writing,
because the time is short,
I think.
Thank you. I think that would satisfy. We are going to coordinate the responses and clarify. It should not be next week. We can make our responses available to the. Okay. No. Thank you.
By Tuesday, you will have the response.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you,
Yeah, that's fine. No problem. How are you? I have this one. I call them the chicken. I get it as the.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm calling. Yeah, I'm calling. Yeah, I'm calling. Hi, it's Rasmus. No committee party, no nothing. Last year we were at the conference, but it was not the same all the time.
This one,
I could never organize nothing for it. Never.
No,
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm checking for a number. I heard that you are there. I'm checking for a number. Oh, no, it's fine. Oh, is it a recorder?
Is that?
Is it a recorder, a memory tape?
Yes, yes.
Oh, all right.